Greetings to each of you this morning, and I want to also take the time to say Happy Mother's Day, and also to my wife, thank you for the good mother she is and the wonderful wife. And this morning I want to say you ladies are truly a blessing. When I was thinking of what I was going to share this morning and looking at some examples of the Bible, I started thinking of the church, the people, the you ladies here. And today, some of you find yourselves right in the middle of motherhood. Some may no longer are now grandmothers and have grandchildren. Some of you have acted as mothers, become mothers to ones that aren't your children, and been a mother to others. As I was reading and studying, and Sandra commented a little bit about that, and while some can't have children, they reach out and act like a mother to other people, to children, to other people they come in contact with. And when she mentioned that, my mind went to Paul, because I was studying this week. He actually mentions that in Hebrews one time, and found it kind of interesting. I went back, did a little study, because I was like, well, who is this person? Because he said, well, he was talking to Rufus, and he said to Rufus, he said, well, thank God bless you, and also bless your mom that has been as a mother to me. It's in Hebrews. I can't remember the exact reference, in Hebrews somewhere. And so I went back, and it would have been Simon of Cyrene that carried the cross. It would have been his wife that would have acted as a mother to Paul. But even Paul recognized as one of the ladies and blessing them for how they reach out and what they've meant in his life as well. Trevor shared this morning a little bit about the history of Mother's Day. And it was interesting because Trevor had actually read some of the same things. And today, Mother's Day is celebrated in 50 countries, not all on the same day. It's considered the third largest holiday, card holiday, estimated about 113 million cards exchanged, and approximately 122 million calls are made. So mothers, you're important. Mothers are important. And they should be recognized. Abraham Lincoln said this, "No one is poor that has a godly mother." Today, all over, there will be sermons preached on different sermons, on different people. And as I began to study, I love the story of Hannah. I was looking at Hannah. I thought, well, yeah, I will talk on Hannah this morning. Or Jochebed, Moses' mother, and that's a good story. I love that one too. And as I was driving this week, went past a church and actually saw on a couple of them, and it talked about it had Proverbs 31, and I felt like I was being led to go there this morning. So this morning, we're actually going to read Proverbs 31. We're going to start there, and then we'll go on from there. Proverbs 31 is an example, a pattern, if you will, for one to live by. And as I look across the audience here, and I would say, we have a lot of Proverbs 31 ladies sitting here this morning. This morning would be I want this message to be an encouragement to strive on. And sometimes we fail. Sometimes, as we do, to continue on. Proverbs 31, verse 10, the heading of my Bible, I'll be reading in the ESV, the heading of my Bible says, "The woman who fears the Lord, says, an excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of merchants. She brings food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchant is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat bread of idleness. Her child rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellent, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceit and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. The verse that I had seen on a sign today, her children shall rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. This proverb is acrostic poem. If you were to look in the Hebrew, it begins, and each verse is another successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And it speaks of the beginning and the ending. The beginning of this and the ending of this speaks of the excellence, signifying a woman's character runs the whole range of excellence. Now, if I were to ask you today, how many of you said, I've aced that one? Or, on a mother's checklist, I got it. Liz Curtis Hags said this of the Proverbs woman. An ideal woman was described 2,500 years ago in Proverbs 31 and has been intimidating her sisters ever since. So what to those that say, well, I don't measure up to the Proverbs 31 woman, or is there hope for me? Can God use me? It's not just for mothers. We all have circumstances in our lives where we ask the question, can God use me with my flaws, my sin, sometimes my lack of faith? And we'll find the answer to that if you would turn over to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, the verse 6 verses. It says, in the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob. Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. And Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram. And Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon the father of Salmon. And Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab. And Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, Jesse the father of David the king, and David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. Some of you are looking at me probably saying, I think he got the wrong scripture, or where is he going with this? Just go back just a little bit. It was unusual in this era to include women in the lineage as they listed it in the Bible, and especially to be in the lineage of Christ. And yet, Matthew, inspired by God, listed five women, four of them listed here in the first six verses that we read about here in the first six verses. Let's just take a look at these four women. The first one was Tamar. She was She was Judah. She was the daughter-in-law of Judah, and her husband passed away. And so then, in those days, if they were passed away, they would marry the next son, so their name could be carried on. And she married again. And after he passed away, she was basically told, instead of recognizing what his sons had done and the sin in his sons' lives, and this is in Genesis 38, and you can read this later if you wanted to jot that down, but basically that she, in my own words, that she was bad luck, and he wasn't given another one of his sons to her. So she took things into her own hands, and as they did numerous times in Scripture, you will see that they took things into their own hands, and how often today we do the same thing. When things don't seem to be working out right, we take things into our own hand instead of allowing God to move and to trust Him. The second one we have is Rahab. And the story of Rahab is in Joshua 2. She would have been the one that saved the Israelite spies. And she is referred to in the Bible as Rahab the prostitute. And yet, when the spies came, from what we can tell, this is when she would have began to believe in God. And she told the spies, she said, "Your God is God in heaven above and on earth below." Later in James, Rahab is described as an example of one who displayed her faith by her works. The third one is Ruth, listed here. Hers is a little different from the last. She fell onto very hard times. She was a Gentile. She was of the Moabites, married into an Israelite family. Her husband, brother-in-law, and father-in-law all passed away, letting three widows to fend for themselves. And the last one was not called by name, but it said the wife of Uriah, which we all know as Bathsheba. She was taken advantage of. Her husband was killed. Her son died. We don't know much about her other than the sin of David, but God didn't forgive her, didn't forget her. I'm sorry. He gave her Solomon. Actually, this is what we would probably call a rainbow baby. In 2 Samuel 12:25, it says the Lord loved him. He sent Nathan the prophet, and they named him Jedidiah, which means beloved of the Lord. That was another name that Solomon was given because God loved and God heard. We see the lineage of Christ is compromised of men and women, adulterers, prostitutes, heroes, and Gentiles. Jesus is the Savior of them all. Were these women perfect? No. God uses those who are willing to acknowledge their shortcomings and trust God for help. God uses imperfect humans to carry out His perfect plan. But if we come back to these four ladies and we look at the generations that came after them, six generations after Tamar was Boaz. Boaz was Rahab's son, a man of integrity, we can read about in the book of Ruth. Four generations later was Solomon, who was called the wisest man. These were influenced by their mothers. Their mothers had a big influence and attributed to the outcome by the examples that they live. Were they perfect? Absolutely not. We all have hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Let's not let Satan use these against us. We have reminders of God's grace right here in the ancestry of Jesus. The one who died to provide us grace to be saved was born into this world by a long line who had already experienced His grace. Today, do you feel imperfect? Claim God's forgiveness. Let's not let our past control our future. And as I was thinking of this, I ran across a story that I'm going to read for the mom. Sometimes you're busy, you're pulled in every direction, and sometimes you feel unnoticed. And as I was studying, I read this. And so I'm going to read this story here this morning. And it didn't have an author, it just said anonymous, written by mom. But it said, one day as I was walking my son Jake to school, I was holding his hand. We were about to cross a street crossing when the guard said to him, "Who is that with you, young fella?" "Nobody," he shrugged. "Nobody," the crossing guard and I laughed. "My son is only 5, but as we crossed the street, I thought, oh my goodness, I'm nobody. As nobody, I would walk into a room and no one would notice. I would say something to my family like, "Turn the TV down, please." Nothing would happen. No one would get up or even make a move for the remote. I would stand there for a minute and then I would say again a little louder, "Would someone turn the TV down?" Nothing. Then that's when I started putting all the pieces together. I don't think anyone can see me. I'm invisible. It all began to make sense. The blank stares, the lack of response, the way one of the kids will walk into the room while I'm on the phone and ask to be taken to the store. Instead, I'd think, "Can't you see I'm on the phone?" Obviously not. No one can see if I'm on the phone or cooking or sweeping the floor or even standing on my head in the corner. No one can see me because I'm the invisible mom. Some days I am only a pair of hands, nothing more. Can you fix this? Can you tie this? Can you open this? Some days I'm merely a clock to ask, "What time is it?" I'm a satellite guide to answer, "What number is the Disney Channel?" Some days I'm a crystal ball. Where's my other sock? Where's my phone? What's for dinner? Hands, a clock, a crystal ball, but always invisible. One night, some girlfriends and I were having dinner, celebrating the return of a friend from England. She had just gotten back from a fabulous trip and was telling wonderful stories. I sat there looking around at the others, all so put together, so visible and vibrant. It was hard not to compare and feel sorry for myself. I was feeling pretty pathetic when my friend turned to me with a beautiful wrapped package and said, "I bought you this." It was a book on the great cathedrals of Europe. I wasn't exactly sure why she'd given it to me until I read her inscription. "With admiration for the greatest of what you are building when no one sees. No act of kindness no you've done, no sequin you sew anon, no cupcake you've baked, no last minute errand is too small for me to notice and smile over. You are building a great cathedral, but you can't see right now what it will become, but I see God." In the days ahead, I read the book. No, I devoured the book, and I discovered what would become for me. 4 life-changing truths. No one can say who built the great cathedrals. We have no record of their names. These builders gave their whole lives for a work they would never see finished. They made great sacrifices and expected no credit. The passion of their building was fueled by their faith that their eyes of God saw everything. Today, thank you, each one of you ladies, for the time you've invested in the cathedrals that you're building. May God bless you for your love, your sacrifices, and being faithful to God's calling for your life. I had a note here for the children, but we're all children, to remember to thank your mom today for what she's given you. You have a godly mother today, you're rich. Again, Abraham Lincoln, no one is poor who has a praying or a godly mother. So moms, praying moms, you're gold to our society. Thank you for the sacrifices that you make. If you would stand, we'll pray. And this morning, there was a song that I wanted, and I don't think we don't have it in our folders. And so James is actually going to play it for us, and You are welcome to sing along with it if you want to, but we didn't have the words for it. So we'll stand and we'll pray, and then we'll play that song. So, Father, this morning we thank you for each one of the mothers, the ladies here. Thank you, God, for the gift and the blessing they are in this world. And Father, I pray that today you would bless each one that is here. And Father, the ones that have young children and seem stressed, pray that you would pray that you would give them extra strength. And for each one that has reached out and touched others in your lives, thank you for them and pray that you would bless them. Father, today we pray that you would just be with each one as we go from here. And again, thank you for your love and pray that you would watch over us today. In Jesus' name, amen.